Let's talk sports with Sam Ackerman, who's with us. Sam, kia ora, how are you?
Kia ora, very well, thank you. Susie, going very well.
Oh, we've got a slightly dodgy connection with you there, but hopefully we'll be able to sort that out a wee bit. I suppose, first of all, the King's birthday honours, starting with Sir Wayne Smith.
Yeah, I don't think there should be any argument about Sir Wayne getting a gong, given his involvement and so much success for this country. Obviously, for those who know his deeds with the All Blacks, he was a big part with the Sir Graham Henry and Sir Steve Hansen component to getting New Zealand back out of that 24 years of depression without a World Cup that had such a huge impact. And now that's lifted, it's changed the way we even view the sport. I think it was so crucial to getting that monkey off the back. But what he did coming back with the Black Ferns and taking over a team that was in a bit of a shambles within a year and turned them back into world champions on our home turf in front of everybody's eyes, and really just a revitalization of a team that has had so much success previously, but never that profile. And is, you cannot undervalue what Wayne Smith has brought to that and every other team he's been involved with. He's after the stresses of being a sole All Black coach didn't work out with him in the early 2000s, he took a really relaxed approach to rugby, but a real give back approach as well. He wasn't a coach trying to further his own ambitions. He wasn't trying to be a head coach and make it all about him. He just wanted the teams he was involved in and the communities he was involved in to do well. So he is a gem of a gentleman. No one has a bad word to say about him, which is quite a handy position to be in. And I think anyone involved in sport and beyond that, I think, is pretty happy for Wayne Smith to get that kind of accolade. My only concern, though, is, Susie, are we setting, if you win a world championship, are you instantly now, as a coach, a knight, a dame, or whatever is required, just like it's instantly for the prime ministers at the moment? Because we've seen Dame Nolene Totara after taking the Silver Ferns success as well. So where is that cutoff? I mean, Gary Stead took New Zealand to its first cricket world championship with the Test World Championship. We haven't seen a knighthood for him just yet. Gordon Walker is a crucial man for Dame Lisa Carrington as her coach, rather, throughout her storied career. Does that deserve to get lifted to that same level? So it's a dicey one for me where that cutoff is. But certainly the All Blacks, and in this case in the Black Ferns, are at such a high level. I can get my head around it, but yeah, I just think there needs to be a little bit of a clear line for consistency on that one.
Also, of course, other sports people on the list, including other Black Ferns names.
Yeah, obviously, when you're honouring Sir Wayne Smith, it makes sense to honour the co-captains of that incredible Black Ferns outfit as well. And Ruhai Demant and Kennedy Simon, they've both been made members of the New Zealand Order of Merit, as has former White Ferns cricket star Amy Satherwaite. She is a phenomenon and achieved so much in the international game. Also, former All-Wife back from the 82 team made the first ever World Cup squad for New Zealand. And Barry Pickering gets a pick-up as well. And for the Order of New Zealand Merit, Andy Leslie, who I didn't know this about him. I obviously knew he was an All Black captain. I knew he was president of New Zealand Rugby, NZRFU as it was at the time. But he's also a New Zealand rep in softball and water polo. And I wasn't aware of that until I saw it in the breakdown for the honours. I thought that's pretty choice along the way. And a champion jockey as well, and Opie Bosson getting a call up. So they've all got relatively high profile, and you can expect to see, you know, names of that calibre on the list as you go.
What about the names that you don't hear about on the honours list?
Yeah, this is it from the honours list. Look, obviously, you know, Queen Camilla, Dame Jacinda have taken all the headlines, and a fierce debate over the past, you know, 48 hours. But for me, the thing I love most about the honours lists is not the names at the top, it's the names at the bottom. And those are put in at grassroots level in all parts of the community. And those are the people you can imagine it means the most to. And having spoken to some of them over the years, you can really understand what it means. Like, just some examples of names you wouldn't have heard otherwise that are on here. So in the Queen's Service Medal, for example, Pat Wyatt has been a major part of netball in Rotorua since 1966, been part of setting up the Sport Bay Plenty Primary School's field day, really giving in and giving back along the way. As Sylvia Smith, more than 50 years for netball in the Waikato as well. She's the secretary of the Morrinsville Netball Centre since 1972. So, you know, they're talking about people digging in. Tiramawana Moa Hodges also is a Queen's Service Medal recipient. She was one of the first Pacifica women to become an umpire in New Zealand for netball along the way, as well as secretary of the Cook Islands Sports Federation. Robin Jackson, a life member of Swing Southland, had basically every role in the club along the way, as well as being like the chef de mission for the New Zealand aquatics team. She puts in at all levels and gives it a red hot crack along the way. Peter Hoso is a lifeguard for more than 50 years, set up the canoe water polo club in Otaki and coached the national women's canoe polo team to gold back in 96 at the World Champs. Real salt of the earth people that give so much back. Like Jack Sims, who's been made a member of the New Zealand of Merit, 56 years teaching karate. He was represented New Zealand at the first ever World Karate Championships in Tokyo, 1970, and he's still going and teaching today at 81. You know, these are people who give everything they can. Oh, Vic Petahy as well, I should mention. There's many names here, but I really want to put his name out there too, because he co-launched the Māori Junior Golf Program in 1986, starting at the grassroots level. Some of the names that his academy have helped bring through are young Michael Campbell and a young Phil Tararangi. So those are, you know, gateways for young Māori players that wouldn't have existed and have led them to the top of the game as well. So if you really want to be inspired about not just sport, all elements of society, honestly, I recommend going to the honours list and reading their achievements from the bottom up. It's pretty inspiring.
It sure is. It sure is. Tell us also about Super Rugby, because this is maybe something that's pretty inspiring too.
Yeah, well, it's crunch time. Where four quarterfinals have been lined up and there is a New Zealand team in each. And it sounds so parochial, but I really think there's a great chance that the final four could all be Kiwi teams. I think that each team there is very capable of winning the quarterfinal as they go. So if you haven't been following along, the Chiefs have finished the regular season with just one defeat. They are red-hot favourites. They rested a whole bunch of the All Black Stars key players in the last game, and they still went over to Perth and beat the Force when they were expected to maybe be vulnerable. So they were anything but. So sitting in second place, the Crusaders. Now the Crusaders under Scott Robertson, they haven't lost a playoff game at all. So they know what to do at this time of year. They are a championship team. They may not be in top spot, but they're not too far behind them, even with all their injury concerns. So they got toppled by the Canes in the final round, but I wouldn't personally read too much into it. They are a very dangerous side. The Blues are definitely short of a clip for me. Bowden Barrett does come back, but they've lost their lock in Patrick Tuipulotu as well, which is more injury frustration at this time of the year. So I'd say they're the most vulnerable because of the New Zealand teams personally, even though they've got a home quarterfinal, because they really weren't that comprehensive in putting away the Highlanders, who had a lot to play for too, but it wasn't much of an encounter. And the Hurricanes, who I mentioned, they got a great confidence booster against the Crusaders. So that'll be intriguing to see how they can back up against the Brumbies. But I really think their confidence will be high. A couple of teams to point out though: the Fijian Drua. So they're based out of Suva, but obviously played some games in Australia too. They have made the playoffs, and they will take on the Crusaders, who they've actually beaten earlier this year as well. So shouldn't rule them out. But what an achievement for them, and for me, one of the feel good moment of the weekend for Super Rugby Pacific was Moana Pacifica finally getting their first win of the season in the last game of the season, and they touched up the Waratahs, who were finals bound. And were my old man lives in Sydney, and he was telling me how that and Cocker Hooper about how they're going to do it for retiring star Michael Hooper. It's going to be a big tribute to him, and well, it wasn't much of a tribute, but a great way to finish and send out coach Aaron Major. So all things are interesting happening for Moana Pacifica for the future. At least hopefully that can be something that can give them a bit of a confidence boost for the next step. And just on Super Rugby news as well, Susie, today it's been announced that Crusaders have got a new coach for next year, with Robertson obviously going to the All Blacks, and it is Rob Penny, who is a long-serving stalwart of Canterbury Rugby. He has coached at Super Rugby level for the Waratahs, but at the NPC he was an absolute champion. So he will be the head coach next year, with former All Black and Crusaders centurion Matt Todd working as an assistant.
Now tell us about the Battle of Auckland in the ANZ Championship that was played in Hamilton.
That's right. It's the final was pre-locked in for the the Globox Arena in Hamilton already, but it was the Northern Mystics against the Auckland Stars, the first time they've had a chance to play against each other at that level, and the rivalry was a strong one, but look, the Northern Mystics were too strong. They've won the ANZ Premiership for the second time. It was 74-56 in the end, and it was a strong performance, and got a feel for the Stars. That's two grand finals defeats in a row, but the Mystics sent off their skipper, Sulu Fitzpatrick, who's played for every one of the franchises within the New Zealand ANZ Championship, with the exception of the Tactics. So a well-travelled career over her 13 years, and she's a Silver Fern and still in the running for adding to that those honours. But as far as the domestic season goes, that was her swan song, and a very fitting one at that. So the team for the World Championships this year for the Silver Ferns is being selected tomorrow. You'd imagine a fair few of those who are picked, played in the weekend, have got a good chance being picked. A lot of conversation going on whether Peter Toiava will get a call up within that mix after a very strong effort in the final. Grace Nwicki was the MVP and will be easily one of the first names picked for her goal shooting prowess. But it's a slightly different squad this time around. I think you take 12 in your squad, but you're also allowed to take three travelling reserves because it's in South Africa. Injuries are going to happen, so it'll be intriguing to see how that plays out for selection. So we'll know more about that tomorrow.
Okay, so from netball to basketball, and one of the greats calling time.
Yeah, when it comes to the modern game, obviously, in people who love basketball in this country all think of the Piero Camerons and the Phil Joneses and the Paul Henardes of the kind of 90s, early 2000s time. But most recently, Top Abercrombie has been such a linchpin. 110 times he's appeared in the Tall Blacks singlet, and he's called time. He's chosen family, essentially. He decided he couldn't give those commitments they're required to go to the world champs later on this year to be able to do it justice. A lot of athletes, as they're coming towards the end of their career, may be tempted to go, look, one more, I'll go for the sacrifice one more time. But he's decided that his family situation suggests that he doesn't want to have to make those sacrifices anymore. And that's something, as a father of three, I can personally understand that difficult situation. He's got one more season to go with the Breakers in the Australian NBL. But you imagine at least one signed on for one more, and it's said expected to be his final one. But shame we won't see him at the national level anymore. But no one can doubt the dedication he's put into that. And if he doesn't think he can back it up, well, I think no one knows better than Tom.
Indeed, thank you very much, Sam Ackerman, there updating us with so many things from the world of sport. An awful lot going on as always, and good to talk to you, Sam. Thank you very much for your time on 9 to Noon.